Gedalia and the source of Tshuva, and then we'll go back to Goldros. So, So I think Ephraim raises the question about the proper date for Tzom Gedalia. Is that what you asked?
And just the question about whether Tzom Gedalia is the most significant event in the Korban, such that when we're talking about when all the staros get lost,
yeah.
So do we need that to the...
How significant an event it is. Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about the date. Okay, we can talk about both aspects. So there is a question of how significant Tzom Gedalia is and why it's placed together with the other tzomos. Again, the other ones we know, Sar Teves, Shivasa Batamos, of course, Tisha B'Av. Again, the various Tanesim that are referred to in Zechariah and that made it as the permanent Tanesim that we have. Ephraim's raising a local point in terms of the dating of the Shtaros in that period of time, how significant an event this was. There's also a discussion. Obviously, if you look at the list, so Tzom Gedalia really seems to be quite different than the others. All the others have to do with the Chorban, and obviously Tzom Gedalia is more challenging in that respect. Why exactly do we accord it the significance that we do, that we group it together with the other major Tanesim? And this is a question that the Mefarshim ask, if I can find it here, Tav Kuf Pei Tes, I think. There's also a question how to interpret the, no, we don't see it at the moment, Tav Kuf Pei Tes. There's also a question how to interpret exactly what the solution is, but the Chazal came up with the idea in order to justify the significance accorded to Tzom Gedalia that Misas Tzadikim is the equivalent of Sreifas Beis Elokeinu, which obviously is a very significant comment. The issue, of course, is what exactly do we mean by that, and I'm not going to discuss that really now, but there's also another question, which is the question I want to deal with a little bit today, and that is the timing. The Rabbeinu Yerucham already points out, the Beis Yosef quotes it here in the tour, that really Tzom Gedalia should have been on Rosh Hashanah, and that it was Nidcha to the third day of Tishrei. We understand why it was Nidcha the third day of Tishrei, because they didn't want to have it Tzom on Rosh Hashanah, especially according to those Gaonim and Rishonim who felt that it was prohibited to fast on Rosh Hashanah. I would even argue that for the ones who think that it's a mitzvah or it's a reshus to fast on Rosh Hashanah, it was probably important that be associated with Rosh Hashanah and not with a Tzom. So either way, that would be an important principle. I'll try to get back to that. But that would be... the basic idea seems to be that Tzom Gedalia should have been on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and in fact it was Nidcha to the third day. But then the Achronim asked the question, so if that's true, factually and historically, so why don't we treat Tzom Gedalia like we treat other fasts that are Nidcha? There are all sorts of nafkamina if a fast is a Nidcha or not, in terms of who is obligated to fast, how much of an effort you make, muberes, those kind of things. We don't treat Tzom Gedalia every year the way we treat, let's say, any other fast when it really is Nidcha. So some Achronim give a very obvious and certainly a very convincing answer, and that is, if you have a fast that normally comes out on its proper date and then it's Nidcha because of the calendar in a particular year, let's say it comes out on Shabbos, so then in that circumstance we consider that to be a Nidcha. But if it fell out on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore we don't observe it on Rosh Hashanah, and every year it's Nidcha, its new permanent home is on the third day of Tishrei, so we don't treat that as a Nidcha, that would cut into the fast, to the severity of the fast, too much. And that would actually be an interesting point, because on the one hand, I say we're struggling to justify the inclusion of Tzom Gedalia with the other fasts by saying that Misas Tzadikim is Kechorban or Kesreifas Beis Alokeinu, on the one hand. And at the same time, you know, what would we say? That we treated every single year like a nidka? That would be working at cross purposes. At least that's an interesting question, an interesting issue. It always occurred to me that there might be another answer to the question why we don't treat some gedalia as a nidka. That is, in addition to, you know, to the factor that I just mentioned, A, that you can't treat something as a nidka if that's its permanent date for whatever reason, forgetting about its historical occurrence. B, that would undercut, you know, the effort that we're making to, you know, upgrade, make more prominent the significance of Tzom Gedalia. I thought that there might be a third element, and I'm totally speculating about this, but I just want to pursue it a little bit further. And that is that the Chachamim felt very comfortable with making Tzom Gedalia on the first day after Rosh Hashanah, on the transition from Rosh Hashanah to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And the reason for that, I think, is as follows. On Rosh Hashanah itself, the focus is very much, as we discussed previously, on a person's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Spoken earlier about Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, being the focal point of Elul and the preparation for Rosh Hashanah, Shifti Beveis Hashem, and everything we spoke of. I think the theme of Rosh Hashanah clearly zeroes in on that relationship. And I've spoken in the past also about the idea of Zichron Trua and Zikaron and Yom HaTrua and the widest range of any other chag that we have on Rosh Hashanah for a person to kind of recreate himself, to examine, you know, his deficiencies, whatever they happen to be, and to work on a whole range of different elements or dimensions in his Avodas Hashem. There's like tremendous aspect of choice on Rosh Hashanah. That's why Rosh Hashanah is a kind of Rosh Chodesh. The Torah uses the language of Rosh Chodesh, and you get to, there's so many things to do that, and each one of them has so many different meanings. You know, just the shofar itself, you know, the shofar is jubilation and yovel, the shofar is bechi and yavava. Each one of them really is a range in its own right, never mind the interaction between them. Rosh Hashanah is about refashioning one's spiritual persona as he stands lifnei Hashem. And the focus is not so much on individual chataim, it's not on chet per se, it's the prelude for dealing with chet, or chet is going to be in a second phase in dealing with one's relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Both of these things are true. But in Rosh Hashanah itself, it's striking how little we focus on chataim and tshuva in the traditional sense of the word. This is highlighted by the view of the Kolbo, which the Aruch HaShulchan, you know, actually implements, and other people did as well, although in our communities mostly we don't. And that is that even when you say, there's a discussion whether you say Avinu Malkeinu on Rosh Hashanah, but even if you say Avinu Malkeinu on Rosh Hashanah, that you should omit certain of the Haskaros, or at least omit certain references in them. Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha is the way that we open Avinu Malkeinu. According to the Kolbo, you really shouldn't say Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. And there are others as well. Right? You should take out Kosveinu B'Sefer Selicha U'Mechila. You shouldn't say Ki Ein Banu Masim. Right? It's inconsistent with the nature of the day of Rosh Hashanah. We don't really focus on, there's no vidui in Rosh Hashanah, not the Asham de Bagadnu variety, and not the Al-Chet variety. We don't really focus on Chatayim. Is it because we want to put our best foot forward? You know, we want the Zichronos to be of the Akeda and things of that sort. We don't want to, you know, accentuate our Chatayim on this day, maybe. Or that would, it would be too early for that. It would distract from the more important Avoda on Rosh Hashanah of, again, establishing who we are and the sense of confidence that we have. Mika Amcha Yisrael, the famous and beautiful Medrash, that the Rishonim all quote, you know, any other Ummah going into a Yom HaDin, you know, would be wearing Shchorim and would be in a state of Avelus. Klal Yisrael is confident and secure, knowing that this is a long-term relationship. So all of this makes inconsistent Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha, and it causes the other poskim to scramble to explain the minute that we have. Again, most shuls certainly say Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha, and all the others as well. Avinu Malkeinu, Chatanu, you know, refers to the, you know, previous generations, and we are standing, you know, Lifanel. That's how some of the early poskim in Shulchan Aruch explain. They have to reinterpret Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lifanecha according to the prevalent minug that we say it. Obviously, that's very, very dochak. The fact that they are contorting so much is an indication that they want to keep the, you know, tradition of their community. But this perspective that, you know, we shouldn't be focusing on our chataim, on Rosh Hashanah, is a correct perspective. And to say the same is true with regard to Slicha Mechila and Ein Banu Ma'asim, etc. The focus on Rosh Hashanah then is the shofar, and it's the chronos, and it's malchios, the relationship that we have, the range that we have, as we've discussed. The Rav used to say that Rosh Hashanah is not so much a time for tshuva, but for the beginning of the process, or hirhurei tshuva, you know, quoting the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Pesam Beis, you know, how Omar, a person says, you know, Haret Mekadesh Siyam Anasha Ani Tzadik, that, you know, hirhur tshuva is sufficient, he's Mekudeshes, because Shema hirhur b'tshuva, even though according to the Rambam, right, you really require vidui in order to accomplish tshuva. Again, this idea that Rosh Hashanah is a day of hirhur tshuva, not of actual tshuva, it's a day of establishing yourself as a worthy person, a tzaddik, not necessarily focusing specifically on individual chataim, individual slicha v'kapara. I think there are other indications of this idea as well. At the same time, obviously we see Rosh Hashanah as part of the process. The, like to quote the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, right, Yeshu Hashem bihi matzo karub yasel karov, that refers to, the way the Gemara puts it, Yasara yamim shevein Rosh Hashanah l'yom ha-kippurim. And the comment of the Marsha that, again, you don't have to be a mathematician to realize that there aren't 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's only if you include Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that you get 10 days. So on the one hand, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, this is part of a bigger theme too, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are bookends and they stand in their own right. Right? You don't have Yom Kippur before you reach Yom Kippur. There's a din of Yitzumah Shel Yom, where Mekabel Yom Kippur early, there's Tosefes, right? And there's a, you know, preparation of Erev Yom Kippur, Kala Ochel B'chi, Kilu Misane B'Asiri, or B'chi V'Asiri, but that all that establishes very clearly that you have to build up to Yom Kippur. You don't really have Yom Kippur before Yom Kippur. And you don't leave Rosh Hashanah right until Rosh Hashanah is over. We even have, you know, ironically, whatever produced it, but, you know, we have Tosefes of Yom Kippur and we have a Yom Arichta on Rosh Hashanah. So it's true that other things produced it, but it's also true that once it existed, that it was given a certain tzura, and, you know, unquestionably because it also, you know, fit in very well with the themes of Rosh Hashanah. So on the one hand, you have Rosh Hashanah with its integrity, you have Yom Kippur with its, and you have the bridge of Aseres Yemei Tshuva in between. And at the same time, it's clear that, you know, whatever is inherently unique about both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that we also perceive them as part of a whole process, beginning Rosh Hashanah, ending Yom Kippur, and that constituting 10 full days. Right, there's a minhag in Klal Yisrael to fast 10 days keneged Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That's the explanation in some cases why we start Slichos earlier for people who don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. So the point is that there is Rosh Hashanah. It is totally different. Totally different. It's different, but its difference is really just a calibrated, you know, method of creating the most effective way to put the whole period together. Starting from Rosh Hashanah, ending with Yom Kippur, giving total, you know, proper emphasis to each of these being singular, but of course there being phases as well of a single process of Yom Neroi. So in a sense, there couldn't be the preparation for Yom Kippur or Aseres Yemei Tshuva if there wasn't Rosh Hashanah first. In that sense, the best way, or a very dramatic way, to make the transition happens to be with a Yom Tzom. As I mentioned before, number one, the status of Rosh Hashanah itself as a Yom Tzom is very controversial. And having a Yom Tzom right after Rosh Hashanah, you know, is a way of accentuating that. Again, it happened because of the tragedy of Gedalia, and we accept the view that Misas, you know, Tzadikim, Kisreifas, Beis Elokeinu. But having said that, I think the timing of it, and the fact that we don't treat it as a nidka, but we're happy that it falls in this point in time, I'm speculating, may very well be because it both contrasts with Rosh Hashanah, and, you know, as a counterpoint, it's also a perfect transition from Rosh Hashanah, you know, right into Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So we have this whole question of Tzom b'Rosh Hashanah, which is very fascinating. The Gaonim who said yes, and, you know, the Gaonim and Rishonim and majority view of the Poskim who said absolutely not. And then my favorite, so my personal favorite, the view which says that a person gets to choose how he spends his Rosh Hashanah. That's an amazing idea, obviously, because, you know, if there really is a Mechayiv of Simchas Yom Tov, you know, how can you choose to fast? And if there's a Mechayiv of Tzom and Tanis, with everything that that implies, then how can you choose to spend the day, you know, eating? But again, it accentuates this great range and the, I guess, level of individual choice, you know, within that range. But either way, you know, even as I said before, even if we were going to take the view of the Gaonim that, you know, one is obligated to fast, or at least one should fast on Rosh Hashanah, it would simply be confused if the fast, you know, was also a consequence of Tzom Gedalia. The fast of Rosh Hashanah would be different than the fast of Tzom Gedalia. So the contrast and the fact that we delayed it, either way, is important for Rosh Hashanah, even if technically you could accomplish a fast on Rosh Hashanah. The fast of Rosh Hashanah is a different kind of fast. And even though we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah, I say there continue to be echoes of the view of the Gaonim that we could or that we should. Again, the famous view of the Magen Avraham: if a person forgets Yalav Yavo in his Sudas Rosh Hashanah, that maybe he doesn't really have to be Chozer, since the Gaonim think that you can be fasting on Rosh Hashanah. And of course the question is, if we don't Paskin like those Gaonim, and many Poskim are emphatic that we don't, so then why do we care that there is such a Shita? Is it that we're relying on that Shita not to be Chozer the Birchas HaMazon? So I think not. I think the answer is that even if we don't accept the view of the Gaonim, and even if emphatically we don't accept it Lamaisa, right, the principle that underlies it, which is that Rosh Hashanah is a very complex day, and that there would be good reason to fast, if not for the fact that you know, that there's even better reason not to, is still alive and well, and that affects the quality of Suda, and therefore it affects the question of losing out on Yalav Yavo. I think there are other echoes of this as well. The person has a Tainus Chalom on, you know, Rosh Hashanah. We treat it differently than we treat a Tainus Chalom on Shabbos and Yom Tov, in terms of, you know, Yoshin Tanis L'Taniso, right? Tanis Chalom, you can fast on Shabbos, but then you have to fast for fasting, not in Rosh Hashanah, because of the view of the Gaonim that we don't Paskin like. This idea that you don't Paskin like a view, but it continues to, you know, to resonate and to have impact, unless you assume it's a question of being so mech on it, which I think not, again, shows the question of ambivalence and complexity. Again, it's a Rosh Hashanah topic, but the point is that on the one hand you have this whole dialectus, this whole complexity, etc. Moreover, you have the theme on Rosh Hashanah, the main theme of Rosh Hashanah, which is that of shofar. We discussed it, right? Yom Trua Yalachem and Zichron Trua. And what is a Trua if not Bechi Utsa'aka? It's a Yavava. Right? And not just any Yavava, any Tza'aka, but again, a range of Tza'akos. Right? Ginuchei Ganich and Yelulei Yalil, and maybe both one after the other, and maybe B'Neshimachas, and maybe B'Trei Neshimos. Again, all sorts of crying, and, you know, sobbing, and groaning, and sighing. That's the theme of the shofar. And according to Rav Haigon, you know, we don't really have a safek anyway about Shvarim and Trua. whether it's Ginuchei Ganech and Yelulei or Yelulei Yalil. In fact, any combination that you choose, the Rebbe of Haigon, not like the Rambam, not like most Rishonim. If you want to do Tashrat, if you want to do Tashat, if you want to do Tarat, right? Either way, all of these fall under the rubric of Trua, and it'll be Yotze Idei Chavaska. According to Rav Haigon, the minug of the Gonim, which was that in Tkiyos al Seder Shmonesre Abrachos, that you do Tashrat for Malchios and Tashat for Zichronos and Tarat for Shofros, is based on the fact that either way you're fulfilling the obligation of Trua. And on the contrary, it's the diversity of sobbings and sighings or their combination that really is what's important in the different brachos. So in a certain sense, Rosh Hashanah is a day of tzaaka and bechi. But it's not a day of tzaaka and bechi in the normal sense, in the context of tefillah, only through the medium of the shofar. And then what happens the day after? We transition into a period of real bechi, utza'aka, and tachanunim, and avina malkeinu, and an explicit midarkei hatshuva. And we do that first in the context of a real tzom, a real tainus. Real tainus is based exactly on this principle of tza'aka and bechi. When Megillas Esther speaks about the significance of a tainus, it defines it exactly in those terms. Divrei tzomos v'za'akasa. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tainus makes it perfectly clear that this is the theme. This is the theme of tainus. Both in the Koteret, Mitzvah Sasei Achasi, V'hi litzok lifnei Hashem b'chal eis tzara gedola shelo tava la tzibur. And then the Rambam, in the first four halachos of Hilchos Tainus, repeats this idea of bechi utza'aka. Mitzvah asei min haTorah lizok ulahariya, and of course, not only does he mention tza'aka and bechi, but trua. Mitzvah asei min haTorah lizok ulahariya b'chatzotzros al kol tzara shetava la tzibur. Just of course, in the context of tainus, it's the chatzotzros that is ikar, and not the shofar. Shenemar latzara torer eskem hareosem bechatzotzros. Klomar kol davar sheyitzar lachem kagon batzoret v'dever v'arbe kiyotzu behem zaku aleim v'hariu. V'davar zeh, says the Rambam, we'll get back to this, midarkei hatshuva shebizman shetavo tzara v'yizaku aleha v'hariu, keeps repeating, Yedu akol shebiglal maseim arayim hura lahem, and so on. And then comes halacha gimel again, avalim lo yizaku velo yariyu, el yomer davar zem yimine ga'olim ira, tzara zu nikra nikres, very important in its own right, and so on. And then halacha dalet, umidivrei sofrim li yis'anos al kol tzara shetov al atzibur, ad sheyiruchamu min hashamayim, ubimei tainios elo, what do we do? Zoakin bitvilos, and then, of course, you have the halacha that im hayu b'mikdash merian b'chatzotzros u'b'shofar hashofar mekatzer hachatzotzros marichos shemitzvos hayom b'chatzotzros. And then, of course, this parallels the other halacha which the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Shofar, where he says that when you do tkiyas shofar b'mikdash, right, unlike Bigvulin, you also have, in addition to the shofar, the chatzotzros. But the shofar is marichin and the chatzotzros are mekatzros because ikar hayom, the shofar. So I'm just suggesting, whether it's, I just don't know, is it a coincidence on the calendar or more, suggesting that maybe since this happened, that one of the reasons that they kind of seized upon it and formulated the way that they did and were happy to put it on the third day and not to treat it as a nidcha is because this contrast constitutes a perfect transition. You know, you go from Ikar Hayom B'Shofar to Ikar Hayom B'Chatzotzros, from one kind of Bechi to another. It's both contrast and continuity. You know, there's this famous story in Ish Halacha about, you know, Moshe Soloveitchik being the Makri of the, it was a shul here actually in Washington Heights called the Beis HaKnesses HaGadol. And, you know, him being very critical of the Lubavitcher, you know, Baal Tekiyo started crying, you know, as before he, you know, before he began to do the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar. And, you know, it's an interesting story. It's personally a favorite of mine, actually. I understand other people don't like the story, but...
In the Machzor, they bring down that he said in one of the Chuvah Drashas that the Chassid was right and his father was wrong.
But good, okay. Maybe that would be for a different reason. That's the point I wanted to make. That, you know, the Rav used to speak all the time and used to quote the Balatanya, as a matter of fact, for this, to, you know, to elaborate it. But obviously, its makoros are Yavava and, you know, and Shrua and Ginuche Gonik and Yule Yalil. That the idea of Bechi Utsa'aka and Tvila is really a theme in Shofar itself. Ramosh Soloveitchik, you know, criticized the Lubavitcher, you know, Baal Tekiyah, because he felt that, you know, it was inappropriate for him to be crying. He said to him, you know, do you cry when you pick up your lulav as well? So I didn't see the piece that you're referring to, but it always occurred to me that, you know, if you held, you know, which the Rav really did, that a central element of Tekiyah Shofar is Tzaka and Bechi, so, you know, then from a, ironically, internal halachic man perspective, you know, you could argue that the comparison between a lulav and a shofar is not a very good halachic comparison. So, you know, the question is, what do we do with Ramosha Soloveitchik? So, he doesn't need my justification. But
as you pointed out in the footnote to your article, you know, it's a question of expressing it on the outside. He could have had all this.
Right. So I think that the answer is, exactly, I think the answer is, there's a difference between, there's a kiyum of tzaka and bechi, but it's through the medium of the shofar. And number one, that should be the kiyum shabalev, let's say, not necessarily the external you know, manifestation. Moreover, I'm just adding a little bit you know, to that. I don't think it contradicts what I said then, but I'm just adding a little bit to it. And that is to say that it's also the contrast between bechi shel tefillah. The point is that shofar is a form of tefillah, but, and it's a form of bechi in tefillah. But it's still different than tefillah. We say shomea kol shofar, and, you know, again, the Rav is to point out that, you know, where does that come from? We know about shomea tefillah, not shomea kol shofar. So on Rosh Hashanah, one of the methods of tefillah is kol shofar. But you don't want to, in addition to the question of external, you know, and kiyum v'lev, which I totally still stand by, I think it's also possible to argue that it's the contrast, it's the shofar is a particular kind of bechi, and the fact that it's inarticulate, and the fact that, you know, that it is measured, even that is a piercing kind of a sound, is part of that kiyum. Again, we're post Rosh Hashanah, so I don't want to, you know, I don't want to rhapsodize too much about the shofar right now, but the point is that you have a contrast between the bechi and the tzaaka of Vilchus Tainis and that of shofar. I don't know if that's what Moshe Soloveitchik had in mind. I have no idea. I still like the story either way. But the point is that there's both a contrast here and an important element of continuity. To go from the tzaaka and the bechi of shofar, right, which is different than the tzaaka and the bechi of tefillah, to a yom tanis, that's to go where the shofar marichin, the chatzotzros, you know, are just an accompaniment, to a situation where the chatzotzros are ikar, and even in the mikdash, the shofar is an accompaniment, is a transition. Right? But it's not a transition which is, you know, which is a discontinuity. On the contrary, it is the next phase. You start off with the shofar, an inarticulate bechi utza'aka, you know, but which is also measured by a stopwatch, you know, if you will, you know, exactly how many sounds it is, and, you know, it's introduced by pshutos lefaneha and achareha, and it's, you know, combined from the world of Yovel and the world of, you know, Rosh Hashanah. And you start with that, and once you've finished with that, and you've done it properly, you know, for 2 days, with a Yom HaRichta even, you know, so then it's time to move on to the Tachnunim and the Bechi, which is more classical in Tshuva. And what better way to do that than for that first day of transition to actually be a Yom Tzom, Divrei Tzomos, V'Zaak HaSam, where this is the theme of that day, which is Za'aka through Tfila, the Tachnunim, and Midarkei HaTshuva, and the performance of mitzvos. And this is true not only in Perek Aleph Hilchos Tainis, and the contrast, but also in the end of the Perek, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin. The Rambam repeats this. He says, what do you do on a Yom Tanis? Right, the Rambam says, B'chol Yom Tanis shegozun ala tzibur mepnech tzaros, bezim uskenim yoshim beis haknesses abotkim masa bin anshe ha'ir machar tefilas shachris ha'katzos ha'yom, mesirna b'chsholo shal averos, mesirna b'doshim b'chokan al-balei chamas, Averos, Mafrish is very important. Abali Zer Mashpilin Osan, and then Bichatzi Ayom Ula Erev, Korim Bebrachos Uklolish Shabbatorah, Ruviyom Achor Mispalim Mincho Mischananim Vizoakim Umizvadim Kefikocha. But the whole end of the day is a day of Zoaka. Again, in Perakei, Hilchos Tainis, where the Rambam speaks about, excuse me. The Rambam speaks about the requirement of these specific days, including Tzom Gedalia. The Rambam repeats this idea as well. This is the transition then to real Tzaka and Bechi through Tachnunim, and also the important transition to what we call Darkei Hatshuva. The Rambam's big Chiddush in Hilchos Tainis, Chassam Sofer in a Tshuva, I think in the last Tshuva in Aruch Chaim, points us out. He says this is a major chiddush of the Rambam. We just all, you know, take it as an assumption now because we're also influenced by the Rambam. That is, the Rambam's view is that Tainis is essentially a day of tshuva, right? Perek Aleph Hilchos Tainis Halacha Beis. Rambam says v'davar zem b'darkei hatshuva hu shebizman shetovo tzar v'yizaku aleha v'yariu yedu akol shebeglam maseim arayim hura lahem, and so on. Zehu sheyigrom lahaser atzar mi'aleihem, and so on. The Rambam's view of Tanis is that it's a Yom Bechi Utsa'aka, that comes from the Psukim, the Hari Yosem, the same Pasuk which of course is very prominent in the Zichronos of Shofar, I might add. But the Chiddush of the Rambam is that a Yom Tanis is Midarkei Hatshuva. And he repeats this same phrase, excuse me, in Perakei Hilchos Tanis, Halacha Beis, Halacha Aleph. Yesham Yomim Shakol Yisrael Misanim Bahem Ipnei Atzaros Shiru Lahem Kedei La'or Halavavos Liftoach. And again, those words Darkei Hatshuva Via Zichron L'Maseinu Arayim Ma'isa Voseinu Shayikamaseinu Ata Ad Shigaram Lahem V'lonu Es Atzaros Shib Zichron Dvarim Eilu Nashuv Lahitiv Shinemar V'yisvadu Es Avonam Es Avon Avosam. There's a din of Zichronos, but it's a day of Darkei, excuse me, Darkei Hatshuva. This idea of Darkei Hatshuva is, of course, prominently defined by the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva is about vidui in the context of Tshuva. Then first two halachas in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva is the question of what is Tshuva Gemura? Right, Rambam explains that Ezo Tshuva Gemura, you come across the same circumstance, right, when you're young and vital and you have the same, you know, basic personality or same interests and your ability at that point to ignore temptation, etc. That's Tshuva Gemura. Then the Rambam speaks about Tshuva, which is not Gemura, etc. Then the Rambam says that there's something called Midarkei Hatshuva. What is Midarkei Hatshuva? Midarkei Hatshuva, and obviously this is a phrase that the Rambam uses these three times. He wants you to look at them one in context of the other. Midarkei Hatshuva Lios Hashav Tzoeik Tamid Lifnei Hashem Bebechi Ubetachnunim. Exactly, right? In a sense, what the Rambam is saying is a Yom Tanis, his Chiddush, is a day which is really devoted not just to tefillah for the sake of Yeshua and Hatzalah, right? But it's also an opportunity of Midarkei Hatshuva. And then when he explains Midarkei Hatshuva, he goes back to the theme which actually we most closely associate, both in terms of the psukim and formulation, with Tanis, which is the perfect symmetry in the Rambam. Lios Hashav Tzoeik Tamid Lifnei Hashem Bebechi Betachnunim Ba'osa Tzedaka Kavikocho Misrache Karbe Min Adavar Shechatabo Mishana Shemo. Famous Rambam. Klamani acher eni osa ish osa osa namasim Mishana Masav Kul Latova Laderech Ishara V'Golam Mimikomo Shigolos Mechaperes Avon Shigoremes Lichana V'Lios Hanav Ushval Ruach. So basically, what the Rambam describes in Perek Beis Halacha Dalet is what you do on a fast day. So in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, what could be a better transition than the transition from the Bechi of Shofar and the emphasis on Shofar versus Chatzotzros to flipping that to Bechi and Tzaaka in the context of Tachnunim, and in both cases, Tzom and Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Midarkei HaTshuva. In Berk Beis Halacha Vav, again, the Rambam repeats this idea and elaborates on it, and specifically in the context of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Afa Bisha Tshuva V'Hatzaaka, right? Yofa Liolam, Tzaaka is the world of Tanis, right? But now the Rambam has this connection. Tshuva U'Tzaaka V'Asar Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. And of course, Dershu Hashem Behimatzo isn't just the makar for the idea of Aseres Yemei Tshuva and a particularly conducive climate for Tzaaka and Tshuva, but as we know, it's the, right, we'll hear it soon, it's the Haftorah of every Tanis. B'medrash Mamurim, B'yachid, Avot Tzibur, Kol Zman She'osim Tshuva, V'Tzoakin B'Lev Shalem, again, but this idea that tzaka and bechi is part of tshuva, or that tshuva is part of tanis, is not so clear. I mean, there are some makaros for it, but the Rambam is really the one who developed them. And then when you put it all together, the symmetry, I think, is very, very convincing. When the Rabban wants to explain on Rosh Hashanah, right, again, that minhag of the Gaonim, that we don't follow, most of us don't follow anyway. On the Seder Habrachos in Musaf, what we do is a Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, you know, for each of Malchios, Sophronos, and Shofros. But again, the earlier view was Tashrat for Malchios, Tashat for Zichronos, Tarat for Shofros. So again, to explain that phenomenon, so the Rabban in Milchamos, in Rosh Hashanah, says, well, you've already fulfilled the obligation of Tkiyah Shofar with the Kios Demiyushav. So now really what you're doing is a kind of, you know, it's kind of what we do on a Yom Tanis. You know, it's the Shofar of Bechi, of Trua, of Tachnunim and Tvila. And therefore it doesn't really matter that we're not being fully consistent with the Safek of what a real Trua in the context of Tkiyah Shofar is. One could say that for the Ramban, the transition to a kind of Tanis or Tzom mode, at least in terms of Bechi, takes place in the second group of Tkios, right? Even before the end of the day of Rosh Hashanah. Again, that's not without some problems, and we don't do that lahalacha, but that's his explanation, at least, of the Gaonim. In light of this, one could also just suggest a perspective on another issue. When the Rambam explains in Hilchos Tshuva the aftermath of Rosh Hashanah and the period of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, so he explains that Kishem Sheshokun Tzchuyosav Tzchuyos Adam V'Avonosav B'Shas Misaso Kach B'Kol Shana V'Shana Shokun Avonos Kalachav Yachem Yibay Olam Im Tzchuyosav B'Yom Tov Shor Rosh Hashanah. Then he says Mishan Imtza Tzadik Nechtam l'chaim. Mishanim sa rasha, nechtam l'misa. Ha-beinoni, tolin osa ad yom ha-kippurim, imasa tshuva, nechtam l'chaim, imlav, nechtam l'misa. So if you look at this Rambam alone, the impression that you get is that according to the Rambam, the purpose of Aseres Yemei Tshuva is just that, to do tshuva. Nothing more. Whatever is skuyos issues, racking up skuyos, that's been done. It's too late for that. That was for Erev Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, your zchuyos, however they're calculated, the Rambam also says it's not a quantitative thing, right? It's only the Rabbeinu Shlomo knows how he counts various zchuyos. But that count of zchuyos is over at Rosh Hashanah. The period after Rosh Hashanah depends on tshuva, not on ribui zchuyos. That's a simple reading of the Rambam. However, in the very next halacha, when the Rambam introduces the remez of Tkiyas Shofar, Alpha Pish Tkiyas Shofar Roshon Gzeres HaKasu, Remez Sheishbo, etc. So then, after explaining that, he says, Lefikach tzarech kol adam shira atzma kol hashana kula kilu chetzio zaka v'chetzio chayev. V'chein kol ha'olam chetzio zaka v'chetzio chayev. Chet chota echad arei chriya atzma v'kol ha'olam kula l'kav chova v'garam lo hashchasa. Osa mitzvah achas v'chriya satzma v'kol ha'olam kula l'kav schus v'garam v'lehem tshua. Big burden. V'hatzala, or big opportunity. Shenemar v'tzadik yisod olam. And then he concludes, So the question is, and some Achronim asked this question, it seems like in the very next halacha, the Rambam contradicts himself. In halacha Gimel, the Rambam seems to focus on Darkei HaTshuva as being what you should be focusing on during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And in halacha Dalid, the Rambam is telling you that Nogu Kol Beis Yisrael, Harbos Bitzdaka B'masim Tovim, this is what you do. So is the Rambam only saying that this is what people happen to do? Because, you know, even all year round, one should be looking, you know, at Ribui Schuyos in this way. It doesn't sound that way. It sounds like the Rambam is endorsing people's behavior of Ribui, Tzedakah, Emas, and Tovim, and Esek, V'mitzvos. So what is that really all about? But, again, if we go back to the phrase, Midarkei HaTshuva on the Rambam, right, for a little bit of illumination and insight, not from Gimel Dalet, but from Beis Dalid, we see that the Rambam, when he talks about Darkei Tshuva, and this has nothing to do with being Nidon at a particular point in time, not at the time of death, and not at the time of Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam simply says, Midarkei Tshuva, V'yos Hashav So'ek Tamid L'fnei Hashem. We discussed that part already, but Bechi U'betachnunim. The Tachnunim part already is something that, you know, echoes Perek Gimel Halacha Dalid. But then he adds, V'osa Tzedakah Kefi kocho, umisrachei karbe min adam v'shuchata. We understand that. Mishana shemo, ani achar ini osi isha osa osin amaisim. And then he adds, umishana masav kulam letova l'derech yishara. So mishana masav and osa tzedaka kefi kocho, what does that have to do with darkei hatshuva? The answer is, for the Rambam, that too is part of the methodology. There's a difference between what vidui and tshuva are. The Rambam explains in Perek Aleph what vidui is. And in Perek Beis, he explains what tshuva is, right? All the different phases of tshuva. And there's a difference between vidui and tshuva, even though the relationship between them is complex. But maya tshuva, sheyazov achote cheto yasiru mimachshavto, yigmar belibo shele yaseu od, yazov rosh adarko, yisnachem al sha'avar. Nothing there about bechi or tzaka, or ribui tzedaka, or ribui mitzvos. If you want to know what the essence of tshuva is, but if you want to know what midarkei hatshuva is, like how, what does one do, right, to spur tshuva, to bring one to a state where he can achieve nechama and kabbalah haba and busha, all of these things. What is the methodology of tshuva as opposed to what is the mahut, what is the essence of tshuva? That's halacha dalid, right? That's why the Rambam has it after halacha gimel. Halacha gimel is what you want to attain. Halacha Dalid is the mechanism that you use in order to attain it. And what you do is your marbe bitzdaka, your mishane masav kulam letova. As the Rambam is telling you, that this is not about racking up zechuyos and passing some sort of a test. It's about creating a climate in which the nechama and the busha and the kabbalah, right, can be meaningful. So it won't just be words, which the Rambam says is the equivalent to tovu v'sharetz v'yado, but it will be authentic. It'll be tocho kibaro. And if that's the case, so then we can appreciate what Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet is telling us, and that is, we don't do ribuis, chuyos, and tzedakah That's exactly the same thing. We don't do these things because, you know, our, you know, zchuyos and avonos are perfectly balanced, and therefore we have 10 more days to rack up some extra points. All we have left at this point in time is tshuva, right? But the methodology of tshuva, right, is accomplished by means of ribui tzedakah. We say tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'abir, nesroah, ha'gzeira. For the Rambam, it doesn't mean, you know, it'll tip the balance, you know, in the numbers game. It means that tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah are all methods of tshuva. Yeah, you want a question?
Are prior to doing the tshuva itself?
No, I said.
Shana Shmo is also prior to actually.
No, I'm saying that so the Rambam describes what tshuva is in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. In Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, he tells you how to do it, how to accomplish it. These are the methods. I mean, aren't in actual time, they obviously many of them come together. Okay. I'm saying one would have thought that the derech of tshuva would be before the, you know, the but they're always trying to explain that they're two different ideas. One is what are the steps that you take in order to achieve, in other words, in name only, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel is not very ambitious, right? You know, feel regret, you know, about your past, you know, resolve, you know, never to do it again in the future, you know, feel a sense of, you know, busha and klima. But when you think about it, for that to be authentic, that's an enormous task, right? I mean, I can turn my back on an aveira, but do I really feel regret, you know, that I once experienced it? And do I really feel embarrassment? I won't do it again, but do I really feel a sense of palpable, you know, embarrassment, you know, that this is something that I engaged in? And can I honestly say that I don't just, you know, resolve to, but that, like the Rambam says, you know, Yodea Talumos, the Rabbanu Shalom knows that with this kind of Kabbalah, he'll never return, you know, to this kind of behavior. It's a, you know, Davar Haba Shalom Baleola, you know. To really achieve those things requires, you know, a transformation. And it requires a certain attitude towards Chet and an attitude towards Avodas Hashem. And that's what I think what Halacha Dalet is. Halacha Dalet says if you want to achieve this, this is what you do. What you do is, and that includes Mishanah transformation of the person. I'm not any oso isha, oso and oso naveros, is a way of, you know, Yodea Talumos can guarantee that you're not going to do that again because you're not that person anymore. But not to be that person is to, you know, to be gola, you know, to intensify your feelings of hakna and shiflos. I'm just saying, Halacha Dalet, in chronology, Halacha Dalet should precede Halacha Gimel. But I'm just telling you, the goal is Halacha Gimel. The method is Halacha Dalet. That's all.
Yeah, it's like a feedback cycle. I mean, you're not going to want to be Rishad Shmo until you already resolved that you want to.
No, for sure you want to. The question is, can you do this authentically so that it isn't just, you know, lip service? I can even be sincere and want to do it. The question is, you know, is it really in place? You know, has it been done? Tshuva is a very hard thing. I mean, it's an amazing gift, but it's very difficult to achieve. It's a very arduous process. Halacha, that's the way I see it. I mean, yeah. So I think that explains. There's vidui, there's tshuva, there's midarkei ha-tshuva. Midarkei ha-tshuva is very much a tainus idea, Hilchos tainus idea. It's the same idea. So I think this works in very well with other things. Perek zayin Hilchos tshuva halacha vav. Since I started, I'll just finish. Gedola tshuva shemekareves es ha'adam l'shchina shenemar tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Right, tshuva is also a form of kiruv. Then the imtachsor b'tshuva b'tidbak tshuva mekareves l'rechokim. But how does the Rambam describe why you need this kind of kiruv? Emesh hayozes sanui lefnei amakom mishukatz meruchak v'toeva. Hayom hu ahuv v'nechmad karov v'yidid. Very beautiful. It's beautiful to show us in the Rambam. B'chena tamotze b'shom b'shona kadosh baruch hu marche kachotim right ba mekarev es hashavim. Shenemar v'hoyod b'makom asher yemar lahem lo amiyatem yemar lahem b'nei kelchai and so on. V'kim sheshav begaluso nerubizrubavel, and then the Rambam seems to repeat the same thing in Halacha Zayin. Kama meula mala sachuva. What's the difference between kama meula mala sachuva and gedola tshuva, etc.? And the Rambam says, Emesh hayozem muvdal me'ashem elokei Yisrael, shenemar, avonosoichem hayu mavdilin beinechem levein elokeichem. So eik veino ne'ana, shenemar kitarbu tfila, osa mitzvah, tarfen osa befanav. Shenemar, mi bikei zos, mi adchem rimos chatzerai. Right? Mi gambachem, and so on. Hayom, hu mudbak bashchina, shenemar atem adbeikem bashem elokeinu, elokeichem. Tzoek v'ne'ena miyad, ohayot terem yikru v'ani aneh, osa mitzvah, osa mekaben, osa benachas, v'simcha, kinemar kikvar ratzah, elokim es masecha, lo'od al Hashem mitavim lahem, v'orval Hashem minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, kimei olam k'shanin kadmonia. So again, it's one of those things of the Rambam, you know, that are always, like, it's just, you know, infinitely challenging, right? Perek Vav and Lachazayim seem to overlap tremendously. Gedola tshuva shema karev sa'adam, kama me'ula malas ha'tshuva. Right? Emesh hayazes sani lefnei makam meshukatz meruchak v'toeva, hayom mo'ov v'nechmad karo v'yedid. Right? Emesh hayazes muvda ma'ashem alakei Yisrael, shenemar. Right? V'hayom hu mudbak v'shchina. I mean, it's practically the same. So what's going on? I mean, I'm speculating. But I think, again, it's the pattern of what you want to achieve, the mahut, you might say, of the change, and the method of the change. First, the Rambam is telling you about the relationship. And the language is a little somewhat different, right, in both cases. Gedola, meula, whatever it is, I can't explain all the differences either. You know, emesh hayazem muvdal is different than emesh hayazesh sanui meshukatz meruchak v'toeva. Some of the language is just more vivid by and large in halacha vav, and it's more practical in halacha zayin. Halacha vav is telling you, you know, what the reality of the relationship is. Halacha zayin is telling you how it got to be in that state, and what you need to do to overcome and to, you know, reestablish the connection. So again, the goal is, you know, emesh zal yasanu lifnei amakom hayomu ahu v'nechmad karu v'yedid. Right, the methodology is emesh hayazem muvdal because of avon aseichem ayum avdil beinechem lebein elokeichem, and hayom hu mudbak b'shchina tzoek v'ne'ana osu b'mitzvah osu mekablin b'nachas. Again, and could be able to say this as well, I don't know. But either way, it's certainly a question what the relationship is between these seemingly repetitive, overlapping halachos. I would say it's the exact same relationship. Perek Zayin, halacha vav and Zayin is the exact same relationship as Perek Beis, halacha gimel and dalid. And if that's the case, so the fact that the Rambam says the osa mitzvos of mekabonos of benachas v'simcha, what is it that's mavdil avonos, and what is that's makarev mitzvos? This has nothing to do with ribu zchuyos. This has to do with only one thing, right? Midarkei hatshuva, right? Reestablishing the relationship. If you want to get, you know, that you want to attain the goal of halacha vav, right? The methodology is in halacha zayin. The methodology of rikuk and havdalah is there, and the methodology of dveikus and tshuva is there. And if that's the case, then if you look back at per gimel alacha gimel per gimel alacha dalid, that too is the goal and the method, right? And all these cases as two halachos, one after the other, that seem to be either contradictory or just repetitive. And I think in all these cases, it's the method. It's the goal, rather, and then it's the method that you use to accomplish it. And we shouldn't forget in this connection the Rambam in Perek Yud, Hilchos Tshuva, either. Again, the whole last chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, we discussed this when we talked about Shivti Beveis Hashem, the last chapter, the culmination of Hilchos Tshuva, is Avas Hashem. Right? Again, it isn't, attainment of long life, or schar bi'olam haba, Right? It's just a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how the Rambam begins. Right? Al Yomar Adam, Arini Osa Mitzvah Satorah, Yosek Bechachmasa, Kadesha Kaba Kola Brachas HaKesuvos Ba, Kadesha Eska L'Chayolam. Chayolam Abba is pretty discussed this in other times as well. I mean, it's not like it's such a pragmatic, kind of. So it's not a benefit to be embarrassed by. It's tzadikim yoshvin ve'venenim, miziv hashchina, the way the Rambam portrays it. But even that's not the goal, right? The goal is. That's what Ami Aretz and Ktanim and Nashim Shemachanchin Osan Lava Migira Achintar Badatam, that's what they do. Right? Ovid Meava Osik Batorah B'mitzvos, not just Batorah, also B'mitzvos. Baholech B'nesivas HaChachma Lo Mipnei Dover Ba'olam Lo Mipnei Giras Hara Lo Kedei Lirash Tova El Osa Emes Mipnei Shu Emes V'sof HaTova Lavo B'glala Mala Zuhi Mala Gedola In Kochacham Zochela, that's the Mala of Avram Avinu, etc. And then the Rambam goes on to explain this passionate, obsessive kind of relationship. And then he explains that mitosh shel olishma, balishma, which is his way of saying that, learning Torah, doing mitzvos, nothing to do with ribui zechuyos at this point, is also a method of achieving or getting closer to achieving avoda lishma me'ava. So if that's true, and that's what he says. And then, of course, we understand that this is the transition point in the Rambam. This is the last words of Sefer Mada, which lead into Sefer Ava, which starts with Hilchos Kriyas Shema, which is Kabbalah Samach Shemayim and Kabbalah Samitzvos. So, the Rambam is explaining that, the methodology of attaining this high goal of the culmination of Sefer Mada, right, is through the Sefer. He doesn't say that, but that's the next, peroration of the next words are Ma'afti Torasecha, Kol Hayom Yisi Chasi, which is, and right, the transition into Hilchos Kriyas Shema. So if that's the case, then we understand, I think, well, that Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, is correct, it's accurate. Namely, the purpose of Aseres Yimei Tshuva is Tshuva. And, that's consistent with Bechi and Taknunim. And that's a perfect transition. That's Rosh Hashanah was about that too, but with a different focus. And then, maybe also helped by, a real tzom, Tzom Gedalia, which is not a nidcha, but a real tzom, maybe because also it accomplishes this goal, and maybe that's another reason why it ended up being so prominent. Now I'm just speculating. But in the end, that is the transition to Darkei Atshuva. And the goal of Darkei Atshuva is tshuva, as the Rambam describes it so beautifully, both in Perek Zayin and in Perek Gimel, and in Perek Beis, I'm sorry. But the methodology remains both the Bechi and the Tachnunim, the Midarkei Atshuva of Hilchos Tainis, the one in Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet, as well as Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalet, the idea of ribui tzedakah and ribui masim tovim, because in the end it isn't just about making a better impression, stacking the deck of zchuyos or just racking things up, but it really is about immersion midarkei hatshuva. That's why if you look in Shulchan Aruch, they tell you there are all sorts of debates. It's a topic in its own right, which I'm not going to mention more than a minute. But what should one be doing during aseres yimei tshuva? And there are all sorts of interesting, really fascinating disputes about this question, about getting married during aseres yimei tshuva and kiddush levana. Big zchuyos, apparently they wipe away a lot of avonos. So you're dafka supposed to do them, or you're supposed to not do them, because the way the Rav Shlomo Kluger and Shulchan Aruch writes, you don't want to look like you're usurping the Rabbonu Shalom's prerogative, when it comes to din. So, why not? If you can stack the deck and get the result, what could be bad about that? I'm not saying it is bad, but I'm trying to understand those shitas. Dafka wait for Kiddush Levana. Dafka don't get married until... But I think the point is that there, and then of course is the question of the interpretation of the Yerushalmi by the Chachmei Ashkenaz about the Pasakum, and things of that sort. The point is that you want to embrace the world of, you know, of Talmud Torah and mitzvos during this period as part of the Midarkei HaTshuva, and consistent with, you know, the reestablishment, you know, of that relationship on a higher level. And one of the main ways to do that, Ma'ahavti Torah Secha Kol Hayom Yisichasi, is through the entire Sefer Ava, including doing things that have schuyos, big schuyos. If something has big schuyos, it's probably because it's a very important, significant mitzvah. It's not arbitrary. But at the same time, you want to make sure that, you know, this is consistent with Darkei HaTshuva, and not instead of or distracting from, not a gimmick to get schuyos, so you don't really have to, you know, do introspection, you know, which is really what the theme of the day is. So again, in that sense, understanding that you don't just, you know, throw everything, it's not, you know, the kitchen sink, you know, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and you know, tshuva. There's a Chazal, Torah earlier even, calibrated a very, you know, precise way of achieving this very ambitious, spiritually ambitious goal. And you have to, you know, treat it with the same care that, you know, that it demands. So, Yirtz Hashem, beginning with today, where we have a real Tannis, Yeshua Hashem Behimatso, in that sense as well. And I don't know whether we explained the point about the Shtaros, but I guess we throw it in there in a certain way. At least I'm talking about the prominence of, not the event itself, that I'm not focusing on, but at least the way that we commemorate Tzom Gedalia, I think, hopefully not just as a coincidence of the calendar, but it's really something to set the tone for the continuing period of Asara Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Okay, sorry, that was much longer than I wanted it to be, but let's at least get to finish off the Avadim part of Gozos before we.